Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. The Boston Red Sox have tapped a former player to become their new manager. The team yesterday announced that former Red Sox infielder Alex Cora will take over after the World Series, where he is working as bench coach for one of the series contenders, the Houston Astros. Chris Gasper, a Boston Globe sports columnist and host of Season Ticket, a new daily sports podcast from WBUR and the Boston Globe, is with us. And Chris, are you surprised that Alex Cora was chosen?
I am not surprised, Deborah. I think that he was the favorite from the beginning of the search that the Red Sox conducted. He certainly has ties to the Red Sox. He played here for three seasons and was a member of the 2007 World Series championship team. I think the fact that he has familiarity with this market was important to the Red Sox. I think managing here is not the same as managing in some other markets, and Red Sox president of baseball operations, Dave Dombrowski, referenced that at the press conference to explain the firing of manager John Farrell, saying that there were some veteran managers in baseball who told him they didn't want to manage in Boston. I think there are a lot of things about Alex Cora that appeal to the Red Sox. He's 42 years old, so he's young. He's charismatic. He has media experience. He worked for ESPN. He's in the game now with the Houston Astros. He's bilingual. He's a native of Puerto Rico. He is into analytics, which are very big in the Red Sox organization. So he really checks all the boxes, except for one. He has no prior managerial experience in Major League Baseball. So there will be a little bit of a learning curve, I think, for Alex Cora.
And what about the fact that it really wasn't that long ago that he was a colleague of some of the team members? I mean, is that going to be a tough transition, do you think?
Well, he played with Dustin Pedroia, the Red Sox second baseman. I think it will help him, though, to be honest, that he played in Major League Baseball and some of these players played against him. I think there's respect there because the players will understand that he knows what they're going through. It wasn't that long ago that Alex Cora was preparing to play Major League Baseball games. So I think that gives him some credibility. Alex Cora, he was a position player. He was an everyday player. So it might be easier for him to have some command of the clubhouse.
He's also the first ever non-white manager for the Red Sox. Is that a big deal?
I think it definitely is a big deal. It's a big deal that he is the first Hispanic manager of the Red Sox. I don't think that really factored into the Red Sox hiring him, but when you look at the Red Sox history, they were the last team in Major League Baseball to integrate. They've had some issues over the years. So when you look at it, I think that is significant for the Boston Red Sox. But I think a lot of times, as it is with progress, what's significant about it is that they just looked at Alex Cora as the best man for the job. They didn't say, okay, we have to have a minority manager. Somebody like Alex Cora can be the odds-on favorite and get the job.
Now, Red Sox chairman Tom Werner said, quote, as someone who has played in Boston and knows what it takes to win here, Alex is uniquely positioned to instill a championship culture. What's he going to have to focus on?
Well, I think the first thing he's going to have to focus on is creating an environment in the clubhouse where guys are comfortable and they're having some fun and they can maximize their performance, and that maybe Alex Cora can shield them a little bit from the craziness of what I like to call the Boston baseball experience. When I look at managing the Red Sox and I look at that job, for me, it's not so much about tactics and strategy. It's about being able to manage personalities and manage egos. So I think when you look at it overall, yes, there are very high expectations for this team. He's coming into a team that's built to win and built to win right now. But a lot of what happens with them and the reason he's the manager is stuff that we're not necessarily going to see on the field. It's behind the scenes.
Now, Alex Cora isn't coming to Boston just yet. The Houston Astros, his current team, they shut out the Yankees. They have a spot in the World Series. They face the L.A. Dodgers in game one of the series tomorrow. You know, nice sometimes as a Boston fan to see someone beat the Yankees. But I'm just wondering, what role do you think Cora's played in helping bring the Astros to the World Series? And how much of his hiring is based on the perception of what his role is?
Bench coach is a very crucial role in Major League Baseball. You're basically like, say, the chief of staff. You're reviewing strategy. How do we want to approach this? You're going over decisions. This was his first year coaching at all in Major League Baseball. He had managed in the Puerto Rican Winter League before, but he really needed to get on his resume the fact that he had been a coach in Major League Baseball. And I think that was one of the final boxes he kind of had to check off here, and he did it this year. And one of the reasons the Red Sox are hiring him, when you look at the Astros, they're not all that dissimilar from the Red Sox in that they have some very young, talented players. And Cora's ability to relate to those guys and help those guys obviously played a role in the Red Sox bringing him in. And I'm sure that they hope he can do the same thing for the Red Sox young core of players.
Well, let's turn to the Patriots, who appear to be starting to live up to some of the high expectations set for them this season. A Super Bowl rematch last night. The Pats beat the Falcons 23-7. You were at that game. What do you think was sort of the thing that stood out for you as kind of the what may be evidence of a change here on the part of the team?
I think the biggest takeaway, Deborah, from that victory was the play of the Patriots' defense. Through the first six games, they were the worst defense statistically in the NFL in terms of yards allowed and passing yards allowed. And they were facing Matt Ryan, the Atlanta Falcons quarterback, who is the reigning NFL MVP. And a lot of people thought that this was a complete mismatch, the Falcons' offense against the Patriots' defense, which has struggled this year. And the Patriots were able to flip that around. And they almost shut them out. The final score was 23-7. The Falcons scored a touchdown with about 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. But the Patriots really dominated the game, and they did it defensively. And that really was the biggest question mark about the Patriots. Everybody knows how good the offense is with Tom Brady. But defensively, did they have the type of unit you could look to be part of a Super Bowl contending team? I think after last night, people feel a lot more confident about that. And a lot more confident about the Patriots' defense.
Mm. Okay, well, and let's check in quickly now about the Celtics and the team's two new star players, Gordon Hayward, first in what could be a season-ending injury. He fractured his left tibia and dislocated his ankle last week. Any updates on Hayward?
Well, he did have surgery last week, and they're not saying he's definitely out for the season, but they're saying that they don't expect him to return this season. I think that's because they don't want to set an expectation of a timeline for him to return. That is a serious, serious injury, though. So it remains to be seen whether he will be able to return this year. And even if he does, it will be in late March or April. And he will have missed basically the entire NBA season. So I really think if you're the Celtics, you have to act like Gordon Hayward is not a part of your team this year. And that puts more of a burden on Kyrie Irving. I mean, Kyrie Irving was traded here. He wanted to be on a team where he had a leadership role. Be careful what you wish for, because now he's finding himself in a leadership role sort of all by himself. I mean, really, when you look at this Celtics season, a lot of people are going to say it has Kyrie Irving's signature on it, for better or worse.
And what about this, you know, owing the NBA, Kyrie Irving owing the NBA $25,000 after yelling an expletive at a fan in Philadelphia? Irving said he didn't regret it, takes full responsibility, but when something like that happens, how do you think that affects him, particularly as a leader in that kind of position that he now finds himself in?
Yeah, I mean, that's simply unacceptable, no matter what the fan yelled at him. And it turns out the fan yelled at him, Kyrie Irving, you know, where's LeBron? There was no profanity from the fan. And for Kyrie Irving to respond in the lewd manner that he did to that fan is completely unacceptable and completely unprofessional. And I think it showed sort of his frustration with the situation, which is that there's a lot of pressure on him to prove that he can get it done sort of as a leading man, you know, out of LeBron James' shadow. And he knows that that task got a lot harder without having Gordon Hayward as his teammate here in Boston. And I think he was frustrated. But to your point, you know, if you are going to be a leader, you have to act like a leader. And that's not how a leader acts. You don't lose your composure there. And I also don't really understand. Kyrie's a very bright guy. He's saying he takes responsibility, but he has no regrets. I look at that, to me, that's a complete contradiction. If you're taking full responsibility for your actions, then you should admit that you should not have responded the way that you did.
Well, finally, let's talk about you a little bit here. Tell us about Season Ticket. It's your new Boston sports podcast with the WBUR iLab and the Boston Globe.
We're on Monday through Friday, and it's sort of a daily dive into the world of Boston sports. We have a lot of really exciting guests on to help us break this down. And it's not screaming and yelling that you might hear somewhere else. We like to think that we are a little bit more analytical here and that we have a little bit more of a civil discussion, but still a very passionate discussion about what's going on in Boston sports and really the world of sports in general. We're not just limited to Boston sports. The great thing about sports is that everybody thinks they're an expert, and we actually have some experts on the show, although I'm not sure I'm one of them.
Right. Well, we look forward to listening. Chris Gasper, host of Season Ticket, the new daily sports podcast from the Boston Globe and WBUR. Chris, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And if you'd like to hear more from Chris Gasper, you can link to the podcast Season Ticket from our website, radioboston.org.